Amen. The King of France, Louis IX, had Sainte-Chapelle, the Holy Chapel, built within the medieval royal palace in the heart of Paris, France. It is considered among the highest achievements of Gothic architecture. It has one of the most extensive 13th century glass collections anywhere in the world. I'm sure if you've been to Paris, at some point a tour guide would take you there to see the splendor of the place where he gathered relics of our Lord's Passion. Louis is the only canonized king of France. Saint Louis was a reformer and an instigator of improved justice in the law. He introduced the presumption of innocence in the criminal procedure, banned trials by ordeal or torture, and appointed provosts and bailiffs to carry out his new legal system. And this is what he once said: "I think more of the place where I was baptized than the Cathedral of Reims where I was crowned. For the dignity of a child of God, which was bestowed on me at baptism, is greater than that of a ruler of a kingdom. The latter I shall lose at death. The other will be my passport to everlasting life and glory." In a few moments, the sacred and ancient rite of holy baptism will be separated by us for Jacobi Eugene Skornik. All of us will be involved not as spectators, but as witnesses, pledging our prayers and help that he will grow into the fullness and stature of Christ Jesus. His family, parents, and godparents will promise on his behalf to renounce evil and follow Christ Jesus. Once again, we all will join with Jacobi and renew our own baptismal covenant. Now, the word baptism is mentioned in the New Testament dozens of times, mostly in the epistles. Jesus, in the gospel reading today, does not use the word, but rather speaks of the meaning of it. He says, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Being born of water is referring to being born physically, of course, the water referring to the amniotic fluid that breaks as one is born. This is why he said, "You must be born again." The first birth is a birth from water or the flesh. The second is to be born of the Spirit, which is of God. Today, Jacobi is born again in the water of baptism, which breathes into him the Holy Spirit. The faith of Andrea and Jordan, his godparents and family, indeed all of us here present, beseech God to enter into his life with divine presence. With Jesus Christ, we know, came the coming of a new age. The prophet Ezekiel once said that we have a new heart and a new spirit because of the Holy Spirit, and that it's not just inspiration, but a supernatural gift, so that we might think and see and feel differently, more godlike, to be disposed to a new ordeal, a new order of moral and ethical behavior. Further transformation occurs upon him when the anointing of the holy oil of chrism is given, that he may have direct access to God. To be born anew is to undergo such a radical change that it is like new birth. It is to have something happen over the soul, which can only be described as being born again, born anew, and that the whole process is not a human achievement because it comes from the grace and power of God. But even more than being given the spiritual life of the Holy Spirit is the tremendous privilege of becoming a child of God. As St. Louis said, to be a child of God is to have Jesus Christ as your brother, and all others who are baptized equally as sisters and brothers. So much so that St. Paul writes in his letter to the Romans that those who live, who are controlled by the Spirit, are in fact, from the moment of their reception of that Spirit, adopted into the family of God. So we are family, related by more than blood, related and connected by the Spirit of God, who can now allow us to address as Abba, our dearest Father. This relationship is conferred on us because of Christ's acts of grace. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is the guarantee that we are not only God's children, but also heirs, inheritors of the glory that shall be revealed. We shall inherit the very kingdom where God lives eternally. From the time of our baptism and anointing, we are called to maintain this status, to be privileged to do so, and all we need do is be obedient. For Jesus said, "He who has the commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me." Jesus tells us that the essence of this kinship is love. The essence of love is obedience. We cannot, with any reality, say that we love a person and then do the things that hurt and grieve that person's heart. Daily we are expected to make choices, but always with God's help. Indeed, it's been quite a week in the political life of us Americans. As citizens, we've been asked to make choices and apparently are quite equally divided on the ways and means. The who, the how, and the why are being put before us so many ways by the media. But as Christians, I suggest we are comforted by another gift that comes at baptism. We are told by Paul to conform to the civil authorities, but at baptism, we have also become citizens of the kingdom of God. A dual citizenship. And baptism means that we hold allegiance to that far better country which is beyond this earthly life. Yes, we live out our salvation in this world so that we may enter into the world to come. We live our lives first and foremost according to the will of God. That's what the baptismal covenant that we will soon say together, the promises and vows we will all make, that we stand and shortly recite, are a declaration and a constitution of love and goodness revealed by Christ. They are a pledge of something greater and better, higher and more noble than the struggles here below. Veterans Day always follows Election Day. It reminds me of the obligation that goes along with our citizenship in both our native land and God's kingdom. We are to work, even fight for the values and privileges and blessings we have because of our membership in the role of this country. We remember the many who have laid down their lives for this nation and what it stands for, and even more have served both in civil and organized military to see that the freedoms and welfare we have are protected from harm. What I'm suggesting is that we owe much the same as our duty as Christians by virtue of our baptism to our heavenly country. That's true, at times we may differ on ways and means, the goals and the methods, but we all still believe in peace, hope for salvation, for safety and security, and offer ourselves and our resources for the good of all. To put it simply, we are here today because along with Jacoby, we want to be better persons. It's that simple. And we know that Christ is counting on us. We know that God is for us and with us always. Amen.